Do you want to learn effective ways to build relationships, generate sales, and grow your business from successful entrepreneurs, startups, and CEOs without listening to a long, long, long interview? If so, you've come to the right place. Gresham Harkness values your time and is ready to share with you precisely the information you're in search of. This is the I Am CEO Podcast.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Gresh from the I Am CEO Podcast, and I have a very special guest on the show today. I have Melinda Whitstock of Podopolo. Melinda, it's awesome to have you on the show.
Hey, it's great to be with you, Gresham.
Super excited to have you on and hearing about all the awesome things you're working on and you've been able to do. So before we jump in, I want to read a little bit more about Melinda so you can hear about all the awesome things that she is doing. And Melinda is a serial entrepreneur who has built four businesses in media and tech to 7- and 8-figure success. Her fifth as a CEO and founder of Wings Media is the world's first socially interactive and gamified podcast network. Podopolo is a community where people gather to discover their favorite podcasts, interact with each other and hosts, win freebies and resources as they participate in putting learning into action to enhance their lives and engage around the world, changing initiatives all in one mobile app. It's also the first to share revenue with podcasters. And Melinda also hosts the fast-growing Wings of Inspired Business podcast named by Entrepreneur Magazine as number 8 of 20 of the top business podcasts for 2020. She also helps business owners and entrepreneurs launch magnetic and profitable podcasts. Melinda is a passionate advocate for women entrepreneurs and conscious leadership to use business as a force for social good. Melinda, are you ready to speak to the IMCO community?
Oh, I am. Yeah.
Awesome. Let's do it. So I guess I wanted to rewind the clock a little bit and hear how everything got started. Can you take us through what I call your CEO story? What got you to where you are now?
Oh my God. It's a long story, Gresham. I'll try and keep it fairly brief, but you know, I was one of those kids that had entrepreneurial DNA, you know, so my grandmother first diagnosed it when she said, "You're disruptive." And I had come back with about $100 in my hand because I'd gone door to door with my black Labrador retriever, knocking on doors to get neighbors to prepay for my show. My show involved all sorts of things like dancing and running through doing, you know, flips and things through a sprinkler and all set to music. You know, it was quite a production.
That's
and
awesome.
So this has always kind of been in my DNA. But I went on from college where, like in college, I started lots of businesses and I did all kinds of different things. But I went on to become a journalist. You know, I thought like a lot of people of my age, you know, oh, I've got to get serious now. I have to get a job. And the closest thing to entrepreneurship for me was being a journalist because every day was different. And I joined the London Times as a correspondent covering business and then later media when I was just 22 years old. And it was an amazing experience. I learned a lot. I was one of those journalists that really wanted to really understand the story and understand where the story was going next. And I had the immense privilege to be able to interview people like Steve Jobs and Richard Branson and all sorts of people that I really learned, you know, a lot from them in terms of how they operated and built great businesses. I also had the pleasure, I guess you could say, of writing a story with Rupert Murdoch standing right behind my back, which was a little bit terrifying as a 22-year-old. So if you can recover from that, you can tackle anything in the world. I went on from there to become a television news anchor. Sorry, that's my dog in the background whining at me because, of course, everybody
needs attention.
Everybody's home right now, taking up a lot of bandwidth, and my dog wants my constant attention.
Of course.
Yeah, so sorry about that. You know, as a television news anchor, I worked for the BBC and I also had worked for NBC creating Financial Times television in Europe for, all through Europe and Asia and doing that deal with CNBC and creating shows that I also hosted and grew a show for the BBC to an audience of 20 million people, did all sorts of different things as a news anchor, covered a lot of the major stories of the time. But I got to a certain point and I kind of blame like Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky for my really just pushing me finally back into my true love of entrepreneurship because I thought, oh God, the media couldn't get any worse, you know, reporting on that blue dress. I thought, oh yeah, I can't get any worse than this. So like, I'm out of here. Little did I know. you know, but from there, I created my first business, which was a political news agency here in Washington, D.C. We were really pioneering. I mean, we grew this to serve 300 radio and TV stations and newspapers and then digital properties. And we really changed the game in terms of being able to personalize news for people and localize news, and to do that with a very small team through content repurposing, which is something that nobody'd ever heard of, you know, back then. I got enamored with crowdsourcing and created one of the first ever crowdsourced news apps called Ask Your Lawmaker back in 2007 and 8, and grew that app to serve more than 3 million people in 8 months. And anybody could ask any question of their lawmaker, and our journalists on Capitol Hill would get those questions answered for people to listen to, comment, and share. And that's what really took me into technology. I got very, very interested in how, not only in the media, how you could involve just regular citizenry in creating the news, who often did kind of a better job, honestly, than a lot of journalists. It's hard to admit as a recovering journalist myself. But that just took me into the world of, you know, things like machine learning and AI and all of this. A lot of my businesses, most latterly with Verifeed, actually analyzing people's social media conversations and being able to understand by that who were your natural customers, and also understanding really from the data what worked in social media and what didn't. And so now with Podopolo, I feel like each one of those businesses has been my lab for this one, because it brings it all together. Like everything that I've done in my life, I'm old enough now where you look back and you see where all the dots connect. And so that's really my entrepreneurial story. I've always followed my passion, and I've always been very mission-driven, trying to use businesses for social good, which is a very big part of what the Podopolo mission is.
Nice. I absolutely love that. And, you know, I never really thought, I think when we first connected, I talked a lot about how I love journalism and everything about it, and like creating content and things like that. And I never thought about how close it could be to entrepreneurship, as you talked about, but it is ever changing because there's so many different things happening, trying to cover and have that regularity to the day. But I love how you referenced that Steve Jobs quote as well, too. You having interviewed him and seeing that when you start to see where a person is, often, especially in this day and age, we forget about all the steps that add up into their expertise, their excellence, and all the things that they're doing to this point.
Yeah. I mean, I really had a ringside seat really at seeing, you know, a lot of the best. And as a journalist, I mean, the one thing, if you're a naturally curious person, which I think all great entrepreneurs are naturally curious, right? Because we're trying to figure out, you know, problems, but solutions to those problems, and being really good at knowing kind of what questions to ask. And I was able to absorb a lot from watching all these people and what they were doing right as well as wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. And it makes so much sense when you try to, you know, aggregate all that information, get all that knowledge and expertise, and you really can build in something into it yourself. So I know you touched on it a little bit. I wanted to hear a little bit more about Podopolo. Can you take us through that and also your podcast and what we can also find there?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'll start with the podcast because it's really what led me back to create the podcast network. So some years back, I started Wings of Inspired Business because I thought women like me who are entrepreneurs creating great businesses were kind of invisible. You know, it's like we didn't fit the stereotype of the startup guy in his garage, you know, inventing something, you know, wearing a hoodie and sneakers and like eating ramen noodles, you know, just doesn't tend to be the female entrepreneurial story. And I wanted to affirm and acclaim all the women who were like succeeding in silence, and also draw attention to how men and women are a little bit different when it comes to entrepreneurship, and specifically address some of the things that hold women back in business. And so I started Wings of Inspired Business really as I guess it was just kind of like a passion project to begin with. But it grew into all these different business lines as I, you know, set about monetizing it. And as I set about monetizing it, I realized some of the structural problems in the industry that prevent podcasters from making money. And I think that's crazy because there's so much great content out there, but 85% of podcasters don't make a dime. And I certainly struggled in the early days because it takes a while to build up your download numbers to the point where a sponsor or an advertiser is going to pay attention to you. So the situation we have right now is that you really need about 10,000 downloads per episode, really to be taken seriously by a sponsor or an advertiser. And that's like 2% of podcasters. Mm-hmm. And I'd known from my previous businesses that if you knew exactly who was listening or watching. And you could prove to an advertiser that they were actually qualified for their offer. You didn't necessarily need large numbers. And we had proved that out with Capital News Connection, you know, getting like $250,000 for, you know, 3 months of one ad airing on one program here in Washington. That didn't even have a call to action because it was on a public radio station and the rules prevented it. And we could do that because we could prove that the people who were listening were influential and relevant to that particular sponsor. And so I set about, what can I do to really change that dynamic or fix that structural problem in the podcasting industry? So that was the first kernel of it. And then I realized there were lots of podcasters out there where if they pooled all their respective downloads or listeners or whatever together, it would be incredibly powerful and you would be able to monetize that content. Meantime, I'd also known that gamification is a really powerful driver of audience engagement. And podcasters really struggle with how to engage their audiences. I mean, almost every podcaster has some sort of call to action to get people onto an email list, but that's really not an engagement tool. I mean, you grab their, you know, their emails and maybe their first names, and that's about it, but it's still a one-way communication. The next best thing is to get them onto a Facebook group, which is great. It's just that Facebook owns those people, it owns that data, and it makes money, not you. And so all these different trends, putting these together, led me to Podopolo. And one of the things that we're doing, which you mentioned in the intro, is really creating a space for the listener and the viewer to be able to interact around the content and put lessons learned from the content into action in their daily lives, so they can transform their lives, enhance their lives, but also take mission-driven challenges and quests and things to really improve the world. And as they're doing that, I mean, we learn a fair amount about them. The podcaster knows a lot more than they can discern from download data because they know how long someone's listening, when did they jump off, they know what interests those people, they know all kinds of things that can improve their content. And moreover, it means that they now qualify for advertising because we can say to an advertiser, who say approaches us and says, we really want to reach women in their 30s that have young children that are interested in clean household products and yoga. We can say, right, these 37 podcasts. And we're the first to actually pass that, not only place that revenue, sell that, but pass that on to the podcasters themselves, so they can actually earn money from podcasting. While at the same time, giving a really great experience to the listener and the viewer, allowing the podcaster to really succeed and really build those communities, and at the same time improving the return on investment for an advertiser or a sponsor. So that's what Podopolo is.
You know, the network as well too, I think is something that's pretty awesome. Would you consider that to be, I call it the secret sauce. Would you consider that to be the secret sauce of Podopolo, or is this of yourself as well too, or is it a combination of both?
Well, at the highest level, you know, I'm building a media company, but I call it really a consciousness company. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really is about mission and sort of, you know, elevating humanity in that way, providing the tools for people to be able to do that. So it's one thing to read a book or listen to a podcast or watch a video or do something like that, and then not do anything with the information. So how can you make it fun to take that learning and take that social connection and take that stuff and really give people the tools and the inspiration and the reward?
I think is an incredible kind of reminder. So I wanted to switch gears a little bit, and I wanted to ask you for what I call a CEO hack. So that could be like an app, a book, or a habit that you have, but what's something that makes you more effective and efficient?
Oh my God. Okay. So my number one hack is really meditation.
Mm-hmm. So now I want to ask you for what I call a CEO nugget. So that could be like a word of wisdom or piece of advice, or if you can hop into a time machine, what might you tell your younger business self?
I probably would have told my younger business self this very specific thing: focus on the vision, not the circumstance.
I love that that perspective and that nugget. And so now I want to ask you my absolute favorite question, which is the definition of what it means to be a CEO. And we're hoping to have different quote unquote CEOs on this show. So Melinda, what does being a CEO mean to you?
It's about inspiration. To me, being a CEO is, well, a startup CEO, right? Because that's kind of who I am, right? I'm the sort of innovator person who sees a problem and wants to fix it in a very innovative way.
I definitely love that perspective and that definition. So I appreciate that. And I appreciate your time even more. What I wanted to do was pass you the mic, so to speak, just to see if there's anything additional you want to let our readers and listeners know. And of course, how best they can get a hold of you, subscribe to the podcast and hear about all the awesome things you got.
Oh gosh. Okay. Well, yeah. So you got to be careful what you ask, Gresham. Bunch of things. Okay, everybody, if you're listening to this right now and you were thinking like creating a podcast was something on your to-do list or your someday list, right? Just quick thing, someday is not a day in the calendar. The time is actually right now. And I help people launch podcasts that make money and that are really integrated with your lifestyle so you can sustain them and all that besides, you know, really finding your voice and your why. And I happen to believe that at this time in our history, our voices were all really needed. So if you have a special skill, a special perspective, a teaching or whatever, somebody, many people somewhere in the world, everywhere in the world need to hear your voice. So now is a really good time to create a podcast, especially if you're kind of locked down at home and everything's been turned upside down. And so if that calls you, I'd love to be able to help you do that. I like work with people one-on-one, and I also work with people in a group, and I'm doing a special group right now. And you can find out all about that at melindawitstock.com/launch-podcast. That's melindawitstock.com/launch-podcast. If you're already a podcaster, I'd love to have you in the Podopolo network. So you can just email me at melinda@podopolo.com. Check out the website, podopolo.com. All the information is there. You can find me Instagram, Melinda Whitstock 2020 or Podopolo. And you can find me on Facebook, same thing, Melinda Whitstock, or my public figure is I am Melinda Whitstock, and also Podopolo Network there as well. And I'm on LinkedIn and Twitter and all the places.
Awesome. 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 And to make it even easier, we will have the links and information in the show notes as well too, so that everybody can click through and follow up with you and see all the awesome things you're working on. But Melinda, truly appreciate your time and all the awesome wisdom and information you gave to us today. And I hope you have a phenomenal rest of the day.
Thank you for listening to the I Am CEO podcast powered by Blue 16 Media. Tune in next time and visit us at imceo.co. I Am CEO is not just a phrase, it's a community. Be sure to follow us on social media and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and everywhere you listen to podcasts. Subscribe and leave us a 5-star rating. Grab CEO gear at www.ceogear.co. This has been the I Am CEO podcast with Gresham Harkless. Thank you for listening.